safely stash all weed and blunts.
Is there anyone here?
Wow, man. You know what, though? I got to give myself a round of applause. I just made the fastest setup, schedule, Facebook post, tweet out ever in the history of me ever trying to get a show done. And actually, just everything. I did everything in a half hour. Shouts out to me. 347-934-0966. That's the number to dial to the show. 347-934-0966. That's the number to the show. So welcome to the One Thing That Radio. I'm your host, Resume. Thanks for tuning in. Episode 306. Interesting topic. I'm going to play a little bit of music and stuff like that, too. But we're going to be talking about Hip Hop X, the mutation of rap. That's what I like to call it. Basically, if you want to hit me up on the phone lines or whatever, it's what I'll be discussing on the show tonight. Like I said, I barely got a chance to even blast out the show that I was going to be live on the air or anything like that right there. I'm actually doing it as we speak right now. But I'm going to be talking about, what I'm going to be talking about on the show tonight is the way hip-hop, the actual music itself is changing, and also the way the game is changing rapidly, you know. The way the music is marketed, the way the music is bought, the way the music is sold. I'm going to give you a couple of stats and stuff that I had looked up. I'm also going to tell you about just what people are looking to get out of music right now at this particular point in the game. First of all, right now, the way the music industry is right now, I got to tell you, man, if you don't really like music, no. Fuck that. If you don't love music, if you don't love whatever facet of the music that you're trying to do, whether you're trying to be an artist, whether you're trying to make beats, whether you're trying to be an engineer, whether you're trying to market music, whether you want to be a promoter, whether you want to, I don't give a fuck what you want to do. If you don't love that shit, I promise you, you might want to just go ahead and take your ass back to community college, your university, your J-O-B, whatever the fuck you want. If you don't love it, if the shit don't pulse through your veins, if you just can't envision your life not doing whatever it is you got going on in the music industry right about now, I highly, highly, highly suggest you find some other shit to do with your time. Be a fan. Don't be a fan. I don't give a fuck. But if you're not 10 toes down, if you don't feel like in your heart and soul this is what you were built to do with your life, trust me. If this is not what you want to do with your life, trust me, you want to get the fuck out and cut your losses while you still can. See, what you don't understand about music is, it's the one thing that people can't live without, but nobody wants to spend money on. That's where music is at right now. It's the one thing you can't live with. And trust me. And when people like to always say, you can live without music or whatever, blah blah. You know what? No, the fuck you can't. Let's be absolutely clear about it. No, you cannot live without music. You think you can live without music? That's because you're so accustomed to having it around, you can't even imagine a life without it. You don't even realize how much you need music. You don't even realize how much you need music. And I ain't talking about the people who do music. I'm talking about the people who just enjoy music. The people who just listen to music. let alone the people who trying to make a fucking living off of it. These guys, who are some of the main culprits of what's going on, good and bad, in the industry. You know what I mean? But what you have to understand is this, all right? Hip-hop music, and this is what I'm going to be talking about mostly. You can closely associate R&B to approximately 75-80% of what I'm going to be talking about. About 25% of this stuff doesn't necessarily convert over to the R&B genre. You know what I'm saying? But it's like 75-80% of what I'm saying. Pretty much you can couple that with the R&B genre, right? You know what I'm saying? Because some things about R&B are mutating, and some things are not mutating as rapidly as they are in hip-hop. The number one thing that I think is changing immensely in hip-hop is the sound, is what people are looking to buy, what people are liking to listen to, and what people are willing to say that's something that can sell, or that's something that is hot. This is one facet of hip hop that's changing at a rate you wouldn't believe. Because living somewhere like Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I live at, and which is a music haven, you know what I'm saying? You got a couple of cities when it comes to hip-hop that are deemed to be trendsetters and deemed to be places that you need to hit, you have to gateway pass through, kind of, sort of, to get to this superstar level. And that's another thing that we'll talk about, you know? The dwindling number of superstars, you know, superstars in hip hop. They're not letting as many people become superstars as they did a couple years back. People are getting on. People are making a little money, but they're not letting as many. How many people have you really just? But you pay attention to hip hop, all right? How many new superstars is it? New superstars are we talking about? Superstars? When's the last time you seen a new superstar you see some new guys get hot? You've seen a new guy with the new single that you kind of sort of maybe like or love or hate or whatever. But how many new superstars are we seeing in the genre? That door used to rotate a lot more. Now we've got our superstars, and then we've got the guys that we let get to a certain buzz or whatever. And it's a million reasons behind it. Not the least of which is the extremely short shelf life of a hip-hop, not even song, album, mixtape, whatever you want to call it. Everything's changed, okay? Hip-hop is mutated into something that you couldn't foresee what it was going to be 10 years ago. So if you didn't position yourself 10 years ago, then right now you're probably losing. If you did position yourself and try to adjust to what you saw going on, right about now, you are about to start losing money. You probably was getting money for about the last 5 to 7 years, but now your money is going to start to dwindle because, again, it's changing. Right? It's starting to move again. You know what I'm saying? And it's not. It's always been something that's changed, whatever, from coast to coast. Like, you know, we had the era of what coast was hot or what style, whatever. And that was okay. Nobody had a big problem with that because everybody, if you had fans, you had fans or whatever. But now, when you couple with the sound and then the music marketing and the way it's being bought and sold, all tied all in together like that, once you do that, then, you know, you really... Everything changes. It's not as simple as it was as just saying, oh, New York had its reign, then Cali, then the South. And then, you know what I'm saying? People like to make it that simple, but it's truly not. This is what you have to understand about the rapidly changing creature that has become hip-hop. The first thing that no one wants to understand is that with anything, as it grows, more change will come. one, the more people that get involved, the bigger something is. And of course, as we are human beings and our world revolves around money, what you have, that's the nature of our being, you know, the more something is worth, then the more people get a hold to it, then the more things will inevitably change. All right. So we've got a conundrum here in hip hop right now. We've got this. I'm talking about the artistic side of it. We've got the people who say, oh, yeah, this shit that's out right now, this shit is so whack right now. Yo, I'm so sick of this shit that's out right now. I'm sick of these niggas that's hot. All these motherfuckers that's thinking that all this shit they got on the radio now is whack, whack, whack. You can say that, and you know what? You could be right. Only one problem with your only one problem with it, and I'm known for saying it myself too, and I'm pretty much pointing the finger at myself when I say it. The only problem with what we say when we say that, it doesn't fucking matter what you think. Ah, see, that's the trick box to it all. It absolutely doesn't even matter, because now the way music is being sold and marketed, it doesn't necessarily matter. If you like it, there's only going to, because at this particular point, they've changed from whether or not the song is hot to more so whether or not the person is hot. You know, if a person is hot, that's more valuable than a quote unquote hot song. And now they're switching from making the song be the only way the person gets hot. Everything is changing. Everything is mutating. The music is not worth as much as it was in the inception of hip-hop, remember? This is a major, major key point. A song, a finished recording, mixed, done all down, sweet and nice, is worth far less than it was at the beginning of hip-hop. An album is worth, is the same thing. Music is worth less. People feel like music is worth less. Now, you can credit to this, to making it a lot easier to create music, thus came the flood of artists, and then you can also accredit the onset of the internet to where people have access to music and people can get flooded with music from so many different ways, not the least to mention people, the artists themselves, who with the onset of MySpace, and you can start from before MySpace, actually, you can, before MySpace even popped, you already had people, you can pick a old school hangout spot on the internet like Black Planet or some shit like that that was popping at one point, where people were going through sharing links to mp3.com site, whatever the fuck you want to say, you know what I'm saying, or just introducing themselves as artists. The onset of social media, the internet, which kind of cut out the need to actually have to have a record deal to actually get that song heard by a person, right? Before, if you lived in Atlanta, there was no way you could get your songs to the ears, not the hand. You couldn't even get it to the ears of a motherfucker who lived in California. Well, the internet killed all that. So with the onset of the ease in which you could get music to people, it was inevitable that what we have right now, which is, to me, is a clusterfuck. You know what I'm saying? And it's not the worst case scenario, but if it doesn't fix itself, it could just really change music, period. You feel me? And music is mutating into something that used to be a thing that people loved so much and they knew they had to have, that they would pay for, to just an expendable part of life. Just something now that people take seriously for granted because it's flooded to them and they can get it anywhere, anyway, however they want, and they also can get it for a very, very, very cheap price, even the music that they want, if not free. You understand what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So what you have to understand where we're at with it, with music now, is it's something that people know that they can't live without, but since they've devalued it so much and flooded the market so much, that it's something that has mutated into Not that recreational thing that you got to have. It's not like your sport team. You know, back in the day, musicians and sports people, you know what I'm saying, were kind of held on the same esteem. In hip-hop, the way that the genre has been so exploited, the way the market has been saturated, the way that the government just turned a fucking ridiculous blind eye to the federal laws that allow bootleggers to thrive, you know what I'm saying, and thus make the music worth far less, because no matter what, I don't give a fuck if you black, white, or whatever, if you can get the same thing for a lower price or cheaper, you opt to do that unless you're filthy rich. And if it's something that you really want to have and you don't got the money, you're definitely going to do it. Even if you love a song, if you love a song but you can't afford it, if you can find a way to get it at a price you can't afford, and it's something that you can't live without, which we've already established that you can't really live without music, then at that point, you're going to pay whatever you want, you're going to pay for it. And that of course, made bootleggers thrive. That made, you know, like I said, the onset of being able to just make music very easily, you know. We give credit to drum machines and Reason and Fruity Loops and all that kind of stuff for making it easier for very talented people to come up with some very good shit without having to have a $50,000 studio, without having to spend, you know, $45 an hour at a studio creating tracks. And, you know, now you got sound libraries, you can just download off the fucking net. If you got a fucking MIDI controller and a great ear, and, you know, and you just got the time and dedication it takes, you can bang out hits that way. You know what I'm saying? Technically. At least get the foundation for the creation of it almost there. You may have to kick out a little bit more money for a bigger studio if you want to get the sound perfectly right. But anyway, that's not the point. The point is, it costs a lot less to make anything in life. Once it becomes a lot cheaper to make, then it decreases in value. And so since music has become a lot cheaper to create and a lot cheaper to get once it's created, it's less valuable, even though it's something that we got to have. And we have to have it. You know what I mean? We have to have music. There is nothing that we do that don't involve music. Can you imagine watching, I don't give a fuck what you watch, your favorite show, CNN, SportsCenter, where everything has music in it. Everything has music in the background. Everybody's riding around. Who do you know personally that rides around in a car and don't listen to shit? If they ain't talking on the phone to somebody, if they're not talking on the phone to someone, and we spend a great deal of money in our cars, if they're not on the phone with someone, who do you know rides around literally just with the windows down, the windows up, and just nothing on the radio? Absolutely not. So this is across the board, but when you come to hip-hop specifically, because the name of the show is Episode 306, Hip Hop X, The Mutation of Rap, it has struck us severely and cut us financially deeper than any other genre. And it's cut us from not being taken serious, because people still take hip hop serious. It's still a profitable genre, but it's given us, I feel, we mutated into, you know, less, you know, you want to mutate into something better in a you want the genre to mutate into something that's more potent and more powerful. And it was going up. It was mutating into a juggernaut. It was like a single cell organism to the human being at first when it started. It was mutating very rapidly into something that people were like, wow, this thing is mutating into such a thing that was just beautiful and uncontrollable and just a cash cow and a respected craft at one point. You know, people were gaining more and more. You remember, people was gaining more and more respect for rap artists at one time. It's like the more rap artists came out and they impacted the world socially, and they impacted the world some politically, you know, just with change or whatever, what they were saying, and they made music that people felt so much that the respect for the craft was going up. The respect for the art form was going up. It was on an upswing. You know what I'm saying? People, country people and rockers and everybody was respecting it as a viable, real, it was going up. Now, it's taking a reverse turn. Now, you've got some people who respect certain people in the genre. You've got people who look at people like Jay-Z and T.I. and Lil Wayne and people like that, and Ice Cube, and people who have gone on to other things, other business ventures outside of hip-hop to gain the respect of movie people, of politicians, of, you know what I'm saying, people, you know, charities or whatever work they got going on or whatever, athletes, because, you know, you got people like Jay-Z and Usher and shit, you know, with stakes and owning stakes and shit and teams, you know what I'm saying? So they have to get, they've gone respect over in that lane. But the hip-hop artists themselves, they've got their respect because of what they did after hip-hop. But now, the respect for the artists themselves, the respect for the art themselves is going down. Now, this is where I feel like the mutation is not so much a good thing for hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? 347-934-0966. That's the number if you want to dial into the show. 347-934-0966. That's the number if you want to dial into the show. I don't even know how many people are going to call into the show because I totally didn't have any time to advertise this at all whatsoever. I don't even know how many people know I'm live tonight. Probably no one, unless they're really paying attention or they're really fans of the show. Some people are. We got a couple people on the phone lines. I'm going to go to the phone lines in a second. All right. But again, if you listen to me on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/K100radio, you know, live right now, actually. If you listen to this through the podcast or from the Chainless Entertainment site, then, of course, you know this is pre-recorded and you can't call in, so you're just going to be listening to the opinions of me and the callers about what we're talking about. But it's still some stuff that you can learn and you might want to just really peep game, especially if you're in the entertainment industry. And if you're someone who just buys music, I want you to keep this in mind because it's interesting to know something about a field that you're not in. I love sports, but I'm not an athlete. And I'm not into sports media broadcasting or anything like that. But I love hearing the inside scoops. I watch Outside the Lines and Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel. I love the backstories because it's kind of what I'm talking about right now. I'm passionate. I love sports. You know, I played when I was younger, which I had never stopped by. And I played football growing up, you know, organized football for teams. It's something that I love, and so I love hearing the backstories or what's going on in the industry. I love hearing, you know, stuff like it's interesting to me because I can't see myself all of a sudden no more NBA, no more NFL, what? No more college football, what? What the fuck you mean no more? And there's a lot of people that feel that way about music, so even if you don't create music, you still could listen to what I'm saying because it may be a lot of stuff that may put you onto why this person is flooding your fucking Facebook wall with random, retarded, whack music. Or why they don't have shows like Rap City on TV anymore. And all you got is fucking 106 in Park, where they don't even play the whole fucking song. We got MTV too, though. Anyway, we'll see what Diddy does with his new station. As a power move. Anyway, the point is, it's changing rapidly and it's mutating into something, and people are losing more respect. Now, here's where people are going to say, oh, Blizzum, you're a hater, and I'm going to be like, oh, yeah, yeah, well, fuck you. It's real. It's really not rocket science. We've got a lot of songs. We've got a lot of questionable, from my vantage point, from what I like to listen to. We've got a lot of questionable music that's been pushed on us in the past couple of years from artists who, in their own respect, do their thing and have their fan base, and people like them, and people buy their music, well, download it, or, well, get the bootleg, or, well, just listen to it in the club, or, well, whatever the fuck you want to say. Doesn't matter. We've had questionable artists who have came up, and big ups to them for coming up. Because you cannot come up and people are not liking it. There's just, is it the one thing that people have to understand when they say an artist is whack or whatever? If you're talking about that person and everybody knows this person's name, you can call them whack all you want to. And some of them, I don't mind calling whack myself because it's my fucking opinion. It's my asshole. I shit it out. Me only. All right? So I can say what the fuck I want to say. And you can too. But you have to also acknowledge that, yeah, they're whack to you, but they're not whack to a couple of 100,000 people. Maybe a million or so, depending on which person we're alluding to. You know what I'm saying? But what, once a genre like hip hop gets to where people start saying that, oh, all that, people that actually loved, we ain't talking about motherfuckers who grew up listening, a redneck who grew up listening to nothing but fucking Garth Brooks all his life, so it don't matter, he can't tell the difference between Gucci Mane and Jay-Z. All of it sounds the same to him. Lil Wayne might as well be Eminem or, you know, whatever the fuck you want to pick. You know what I'm saying? Whoever you want to pick, there's like a night and day comparison when it comes to this music genre. You know what I'm saying? It all sounds the same. We're not talking about those people. Those people were never going to be over here. We're talking about people who grew up listening to nothing but hip-hop. When you hear these people, highly critical of the genre itself, of the artists that are at the forefront, of the music that's getting played in the radio, on radio and in the clubs, when you hear the people who actually grew up in that genre saying that, that's when it's a motherfucking problem. Now, anybody, people can get upset and say, man, that's just whatever. You know what I'm saying? You can say whatever. Just because you got one city that like that shit, or maybe a couple of cities that like it in one region, but the greater community of people who grew up listening to this genre, the greater number of people who really listen to this music, are really saying, like, we're not feeling the music now. We don't like what's being put out now. To the point where they're coming to other stations like K100 Radio. They're like, fuck the radio. I don't even go to the club because I don't even hear that same ass shit. How the fuck did... And they just ramble off some of the people that are supposedly at the top of the game, but they're rambling off names of artists, and they're like, I don't even know how the fuck they even got a record deal. They suck. That's a problem for the genre, and the genre has mutated once again, but not in a good way. It's not in a good way. You know what I'm saying? We were mutating in the onset of hip-hop in a positive way, but now it's causing the genre to be less profitable and lose respect. When you get, and I don't know, people can say whatever. I'm not even gonna name a person or a song. But when you get what people are calling silly music, highly getting played all the time, when you get a whole bunch of artists that are rapping over the same, when you get a whole bunch of artists who are rapping over the same tempo type of beats, talking about the same type of thing, you know, using the same type of style over and over again, and that's what you're hearing, that's a problem, not because I don't want anyone to eat anything. It's a problem because it takes away from the potency of the genre. And the genre as a whole, everybody has to understand, the genre as a whole is tied to profitability and the longevity of the genre itself. It's what stops it from becoming a fad. It's why hip-hop was... It's why everybody who said hip-hop was a fad when it first came out round up being wrong as fuck. Remember, everyone said hip-hop was a fad. Remember when you were younger and everybody was like, this shit is just a fad. This shit is a trend. It's going to fade. Nah. But what it did do was mutate, transform. You know what I'm saying? It did mutate. The genre has indeed mutated. But it wasn't a fad. But what's happening to a lot of facets of it now is making it seem more like a fad than an art form. That's I guess my major point. If we're not careful, we will allow hip hop to mutate into more of something that is a fad and less of an art form, and fads do end. They come back around, but they in fact end. And if we're not careful with it, I feel like that's what's going to be going on with the genre in itself in the foreseeable future, because we've already made it highly far less profitable in just a few short years by repetition of artists, less quality. Of course, the indie circuit. You can point the finger at the indie circuit. You can point the finger at the independent artists a little bit. I will, and I'm an independent artist, okay? You can point the finger at the independent artist a little bit. But you can't just all out say, well, you got all these whack-ass motherfuckers trying to post their music all on back when you can start. I'll take you far back as MySpace, and I'll stop you there, even though people will promote music on the internet way before MySpace. So depending on how old you is, that might have been your first introduction to it. You know what I'm saying? So we'll just say MySpace. We'll act like that was the start of it, even though we know it's not. But we'll just say that for the purposes of the show. All right? Once independent artists start getting all on MySpace, promoting their music and all that kind of stuff right there, and then everybody start coming up with all this whack music, and everybody think they can rap because everybody got a little bullshit drum machine and whatever, and everybody got a little studio. It's a lot cheaper, and everybody want to rap because they can now. What you first have to understand is, even if those people, the people who are not the artists, you know what I'm saying, because 9 out of 10 times with Facebook, Twitter, and MySpace and all that, people are friends with other artists and other people who are music related or whatever, and they got a couple of other people on there. You know what I'm saying? They got a couple of other people on there. The rest of those people, okay, who maybe they family and friends, outside of their family and friends, an independent artist is not going to have a just large amount of people on their friends list that's going to allow them to bombard their page with shit. They're going to delete their ass. Block them. If it was MySpace, block them. Facebook, delete them. Twitter, unfollow, whatever. Because if they don't want it, they don't want it. You know what I'm saying? If they don't want it, they don't want to be dealt with. If they don't fuck with you like that, if they feel like you garbage or whack or whatever, it's the click of a button to fucking get rid of you as a nuisance. You understand what I'm saying? It's so easy to do, you know? So you can't even still say that that is a major, major problem. The problem, you don't hear people going around and say, man, I'm so tired of, you hear it every now and again. You hear people say, I'm tired of whack ass any artist posting on my page, blah, blah, blah. But you can get rid of them. But when you ride around in your car, you can't control face. You can't control the radio. It's only a couple of small people control radio. When you in the club, that DJ, when people coming out the club saying, man, they all they do is play the same shit in the motherfucking club. But fuck the club. I don't even feel like going. I ain't gonna hit them with the same shit anyway. I don't hear half the shit I like anyway. When people start saying that about radio, and then when the people who grew up on hip hop in general start saying hip hop is whack now. This is what you're hearing. I'm not making this up. People are saying this. When you get people who grew up listening to a genre saying it's whack, it's a problem. It's changing. It's mutating. And it's been mutating since the onset. Hip-hop is forever mutating. But I feel like in this last mutation it underwent recently in about the past 7 years, solid, I'd say, really 10, but it took 3 to really do it. But these past 7, yeah, and that comes from the music itself, the way it's bought and sold and everything. All right, 856, what up, though? 856. Hello.
Good.
What up, though? What is left?
Yo, it's good.
What up, though? What are you doing? What the hell is that?
Man, I was rolling up, man.
Oh, okay. You good now?
I'm good.
All right. Shout out to the homie Blessed Child representing Jersey checking in. What up, homie?
Yo, man, Shane.
All right, man. Thanks for calling in the show. So basically what we're talking about, you were talking about episode 306. I had to break my whole studio down. I had to break my whole studio down the other day because I had to do a remote from somewhere else. I don't even know what my quality sounds like because I plugged everything up in 30 minutes. Can you hear me clear in the background music and shit? It's a question.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I just want to know because I don't even know if I got everything leveled off. I pretty much had to set the whole studio back up and schedule the show and last the show out within 30 minutes today. That's what kind of weekend I had. Shouts out to everybody who had a safe Memorial Day. Hope you guys all did that. I had a blast. Anyway. And shouts out to all the servicemen, men and women, man, who, you know what I'm saying, put their life on the line. You know what I mean? I'm not a big fan of the military like that right there either, but I respect people who, you know what I'm saying, who bled for this shit. Niggas like to talk crazy, but at the end of the day, though, y'all, most of y'all benefiting from some form of goddamn, you know, the military in some kind of way. I mean, motherfuckers can't just come over here and take this bitch over because of him. So just pop it with the fuckery. Anyway, whether you like the military or not, nigga, you still benefiting from it being there. Period. So now, anyway, Blessed Child, episode 306, Hip Hop X, The Mutation of Rap. And what I'm talking about is how rap has changed, you know what I'm saying? And I feel personally, this is my personal opinion, and whoever's on the phone line can argue against it, but I feel like it's mutated in a negative way in the past couple of years. I feel like the quality of the genre, the quality of artists that are being pushed to the forefront are less. People are taking the genre less serious than they did as an art form because of that. And also, since and as a byproduct of that, people have said the music isn't worth as much, which is why bootlegging thrives, downloads, piracy, everything's at an all-time high because people just feel like it ain't worth shit anyway, for the most part. What do you think about that?
Man, I feel the same way, man. I feel like hip-hop changed a lot, man. I don't got no feeling to the music no more like you ain't by the East Coast or West Coast. Cause back in the day, you had N.W.A., you had Scarface, you had Red Man, you had Nas. You had different type of flavor out there, man. Like, no matter what you go, you had different type of flavor. The live mix, on the radio, the live mix, everybody tuned in, had a little cassette tape ready to record. You feel me? It's not like that no more. It's like, I like music that I could feel and I could relate to, whether I went through it or not went through it.
Right, right. I think... I think that people are going to get mad when I say this. But as a producer, you know what I'm saying, as an artist and a producer myself, one thing I think people... A lot of times people are putting the artist on the hot seat and saying that the artists are coming whack or blah, 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 and everything like that. And that may be true, but it was whack artists in the 90s, in the early 2000s. You know, it was whack. It's been whack. It's been whack. What you and I would consider whack. And here again is I'm almost about to just delete the word whack out of my vocabulary, but I can't because I just need to put an asterisk by it. Like whenever you say the word whack, you got to put an asterisk and the asterisk at the bottom of the page always has the reference. My opinion. You know what I'm saying? Because anytime you say some shit is whack, it's never the ultimate. It's never the not DJ. I don't give a fuck who it is. I don't give a fuck who it is. It could be Greg Street, K Slay, Drama, Dr. Fucking. It doesn't fucking matter. Whenever someone says some shit is whack, it's always with an asterisk, your opinion. Because if there was some whack barometer where everything just that sounded like this is whack, then you wouldn't have music. We wouldn't be in the predicament we are in right now in hip hop, where people are constantly saying it's so much whack shit on the radio. Well, what the fuck? Radio plays what people want to hear. You know what I'm saying? And it goes back to what I'm trying to tell people, that hip hop has grown so much that it has morphed and mutated into different subgenres, and then it's morphed and mutated into age category, like rock and roll. See, people have to sit back and look at rock and roll and understand that this is where hip hop is going to. You've got certain kind of rock and roll that's like considered old school rock and roll. The Beatles is rock and roll, right? Right?
Yeah.
That's right. That's rock and roll. The Beatles. You know what I'm saying? That's the onset of rock and roll. But then you got new rock and roll. You know what I'm saying? Shit that's coming out like right now. Whether it be, I don't know, people, it's broke down into its own subgenre. Like you got that rock and roll, but then you had the era of Metallica and all the other kind of stuff. But then you had the era of like Nirvana and all that kind of stuff. And then you had the era of Coldplay and all that kind of stuff. It's like people don't realize, look how long rock and roll has been around. There's other music like jazz and everything that's even older than that. You can even take gospel music, which has been around a long time, and gospel music has morphed into a whole another animal with subgenres. So people don't, it's like people want to lump hip-hop and rap all together. It's like no one wants to say, you've got that kind of rap for that age group, that kind of rap for that age group, and that kind of rap for that region and that region, and That is what it is. Everybody wants to say it's just hip-hop. So when someone says, oh, hip-hop is so garbage now, it's because they may not like Gucci Mane, Waka Flocka. Who else? I don't know. Pick somebody. Whatever. Cash Out. Whatever. They may not like all the songs that, like, a lot of songs Atlanta be playing, like, right now, right? Because Atlanta is Atlanta likes what Atlanta likes. And then you have people that's living in Atlanta that's not from Atlanta, and they listen to Atlanta radio, and they're like, oh, that shit y'all be playing is whack. It's fuck. That shit is garbage in the clubs, blah, 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 blah. But you can say that until you go out to a club in Atlanta and they play that song and the whole fucking club jump up off their motherfucking seats and dance. So who's really whack? So
that's the reason why the upper hand too with music they want to put in clubs, with music they want to put on radio. It's like it's not in their hands. So of course they want to generate a lot of fans because that's the only thing people hear. It's like hypnotism. That's the only thing
you can't like. Listen, you can't make me like nothing I don't like.
But yeah, everybody got a strong mind like me and you.
You like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. I could be up in New York and you could play a whole bunch of motherfucking New York shit that I just don't like. It's New York artists I don't like. I don't like. You know what I'm saying? I just don't like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what to do, man. I don't like it. You know what I'm saying? Like Dipset. Dipset is an example of a group that no one can just make me say Dipset is hot. I've never said it, and I'm probably never going to say it, because there's no one in that group, in that camp, that I like. The only one I can tolerate is Cam.
That's the only thing I'm about to say right there. That's the only one I can tolerate is Cam.
And that's what he's rapping.
I can't mess with.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't mess with none of them.
No, I don't like none of them. But there's parts of Harlem who ride or die for Dipset. They hot. You go up there, so then when you come down to Atlanta, the point is, hip-hop has grown immensely. It's old now. It's not a baby anymore. It's not an infant. When it was growing in its onset, when it was growing, everything was fresh. Everything was new. Now it's mature. And then once it got to be mature, it got to a point where okay, we're here now. We know what hip-hop is. We know we got bars, hooks. We got collaborations. We've got subject matter, whether people agree with it or not, money, women, females, balling, the hood, the struggle, whatever. We've got all that set. That's hip hop, right? The dress, the style, whatever. And then it broke down into regional, and then it broke down even further into age range. You know what I'm saying? Because people understand what a 14 and 15 year old, we'll have an agreement on certain artists when it comes to hip hop. 14, 15 year olds and a 34 year old. I'm 34, but all I grew up listening to was hip hop, right?
Yeah,
I'm a fan of hip hop. But I got kids around me like younger cousins, my kids, and people like that who are. They like hip hop. They don't listen to rock. They don't listen to country. They don't listen to pop. They listen to hip hop, but they listen to they like most shit I hate. You know what I'm saying? But that's and so people have to understand hip hop has morphed and mutated into not only having different regional sounds, but different just into smaller subgenres that's dictated by age. Literally, you know what I'm saying? And no one wants to just, no one wants to just recognize that. So, I don't know. Do you think it's bad where hip-hop is right now? Do you think people respect hip-hop as a genre less?
Yeah, I can say that, man. But at the same time, you can't complain about it, man. You got to do something about it. Like, I hear a lot of indie complaining, man. Yes, they taking over the game right now, but the power is in numbers, man. So all these indies need to start supporting these blog talk radios. We get a lot of independents sticking together worldwide, man. That's gonna make the change, because when people start going to blog talk, that's where people gonna put their money at.
Yeah, but what you have to understand is, no matter what we do as independent radio, no matter what people do as independent artists, consumers ultimately hold the power. Because at the end of the day, they hold the power. People say DJs or whatever, but if a DJ play a whack song and nobody ever dances off of it, guess what's gonna happen?
But is that consumer saying K100? That consumer saying K100? That's where everybody going at.
Everybody don't have the internet.
I'm saying they start seeing that. For example, that's a movie, right? That's a movie right there. It's gonna be pretty soon when the consumer gonna start going to it.
Yeah, but still, the people have to ask, the people have to, artists and independent radio and stuff like that can only do so much, but the genre has mutated, and then on the backside of it, when you talk about the, I guess you could say the business side, you know, that's really where the consumers come in, because consumers don't want to pay for music anymore as much. It's to the point now. Let me say something. What you have to understand is this, all right? People don't want to pay for music, right? And the music industry is kind of sort of going, not going broke, but they're making a lot less money, to the point where they've actually had to change the definition of record deal. What used to be a record deal is no longer really considered a record deal. What people like to call a 360 deal, if you know anything about the music industry, I could go on and tell you about it, but you probably have to listen to one of my Indie 101 shows where I'm really talking about the business and just putting indies on game. What you have to understand is the reason why you have the onset of these kind of deals is because music is less profitable. Music is less profitable because people feel like it's not worth, like people stop buying albums. Remember when people stopped buying albums? People stop buying albums because they start saying, man, shit, every time the last couple of albums I bought, the person had one or two good songs on their head, like two songs, and then the rest of that shit was whack. You know what I mean? Right? Because now the power is not in the album. The power is in the single. All right? The power is in the single, ladies and gentlemen. Power is in the single. The single rules the day now in the music industry. You must have, you can have the best album ever, but if you don't have a hot single, if you don't have that one single that gets hot on radio or in the club, whichever one, or preferably both, but you can still have a song that gets played a lot in the club and never makes it to the radio per se and still work chitlin circuit is what they call it down south. You can be in all the strip clubs and stuff like that and still go out and get, like, you know, a couple stacks of show because everybody in the club know your song, but the radio ain't took off yet. Like a song, I'll give you a recent example of that. It started playing on the radio barely, but never did. But you would go in a lot of clubs in the South. It was that song called On My Mama, On My Hood, I Look Fly, I Look Good. You feel me? They started playing on the radio, but it's a song down here that was playing all over the clubs and stuff like that right there. You know, that artist probably got, at one point, his song was probably popular enough for him to command at least 5 stacks a show, right? Because of that single. You know what I'm saying? Because that was a popping single. He could probably, if he had a good booking agent and a good management, he could have commanded that, 3 to 5, depending on where it was at. He probably still could have, on any night, asked for 1,500, 2 stacks easy. Which is not bad for fucking one night. And you're not even signed to a major deal. You don't have any catalog to date that people know of. He probably does, but to date. But that's a prime example of it. But once people start feeling that way about rap, hip-hop, and they say, man, the music just whack now. And that's a general, that you hear that more and more now than any other time in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? It used to be a time where it used to be people said, that artist is whack, or music from that area is whack. Now it's just like people are just going ahead and just saying, man, hip hop is garbage now. I don't even listen. I don't even fuck with it. You notice that, Blessed Child?
Yeah. You got people talking about Nicki Minaj, like talking about Nicki Minaj falling off right now.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of people talking about that up here right now, that she falling off.
I mean,
Drake album.
Yeah, but that's just
Drake
one
album. Didn't show that much.
Yeah, I know. That's just one. And you know. Let me tell you something. I want everybody to pay attention to this one little point. And I'm not a Nicki Minaj hater at all. Because, I don't listen to Nicki Minaj music. I think the only song I ever liked by Nicki that I can say I like that record, probably 2 songs. I always felt like the Moment for Life joint was a good record, just a good crossover pop record. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? Like, just, you know, I could have this moment for, like, that's why it's on the Pepsi commercial. I just felt like that song is so marketable. Even I don't have to like it to say that that's a good song. I feel like that about did it on them, shitting on them, whatever one you want to call it. Didn't like, I'm not going to buy that. It's not for me. I'm not even Nicki's target audience. She's talking to Barbies. What the fuck? It's not for me. But I heard that song and I said, that's a great street record. You know what I'm saying? I could say that. That's a great street record. But what kills me about, and this is another thing about hip-hop, and this is the problem within hip-hop. This hip-hop wasn't really like this all the time, where you only have one female artist that's getting money. One. Name the other one. I'll wait. Anybody on the phone lines? I got a couple people on the phone lines. Press number one. Who else getting money? That's a female. No one knows that answer because there is no one else. Excuse me. I'm battling the cold right now, by the way. So anyway, this is the point. People can say what they want to say about the Nicki Minaj thing, but they don't understand that hip-hop needs a Nicki. But more than they need a Nicki, they need someone to go against Nicki. They can't just be Nicki. Nicki needs, you know, Nicki needs a Foxy and an Eve if she's Kim. If you were to, please God, for the love of God, don't say I compare Nicki Minaj to Kim, or I don't, for you, for the fanatics out there, just don't do that. It's not what I said. I'm saying hip hop needs a Nicki and two more, and another female, and another, and perhaps at least another one or two more females. This is the problem. That's a problem with hip hop. The fact that Nicki is the only female that you hear on the radio, that's a problem, ladies and gentlemen, in our genre. Period. Why do you think when you listen to K100 Internet Radio and I do the Subway, I always play female MCs and more than one? You've never heard a Subway where I didn't play a female on there. There's a reason for that. It's because I'm not selfish. But what I want to represent here at K100 Internet Radio is what FM is fucking missing. That's what I want to trigger when you're listening to my show. And for me to just, if I only played one female MC or no female MC, well, I wouldn't be any better than them clowns. 770-572. You okay, 100? What's popping? 770-572?
Yo, listen. Yep.
What's happening? Who's this?
What's up? This is LS Lois Lane. How y'all feeling? You talking real shit tonight, man.
Thank you for calling Lois Lane. I'll be your Superman. Yeah.
I was just cute coming in after you made a comment about, you know, there being more females in the hip-hop game. Of course, me being a female, not just in the hip-hop game, but just all over the music, you know what I'm saying? There definitely needs another sister or some minority female up in there doing their thing. You know, they being selfish and greedy out there. I know a few indie females and a few females is on their way to mainstream that's dope. Azalea Banks, you know what I'm saying? She's killing them out there. But I understand that's how they work and they magic. Let them do it. We coming, though.
Right. So let me ask you this. And this is on topic. Episode 306, ladies and gentlemen. Hip Hop X, the mutation of hip hop. Let me ask you this, and I want you to be honest now, because I feel like I'm talking, but I want to make sure that I get other people's opinion. Do you notice more people in general? We're not talking about saying a specific person. Don't you notice more people in general who actually listen to the genre? It's one thing if a redneck says it's about hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Who doesn't even, you know, all he got is Garth Brooks in his damn car.
Right.
But when you got people who all they listen to is hip hop,
right,
say hip hop is getting whack, man. I'm not feeling it no more. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Don't you hear that more than you ever have at any other point in hip hop?
It's an insult. It's a straight up insult because that's where I come from, and I, you know, being
is it really an insult or the truth? Which one is it?
It's the truth, but damn, it hurts you. It hits you like, damn, for real, man.
Right.
Like, nah, it's still some good hip hop out there because I know good hip hop, you know. But it's true, but it touches me, like, man.
All right, so being in, now taking into consideration that you said that and you feel that way, that you know you feel like that's you heard that, you hear that. I'm not saying stuff that I feel per se with a lot of the points that I'm making. I'm going by what I hear when I'm out and about in any capacity as an artist, as the host of K100 Internet Radio, whatever I'm doing. I'm hearing this more and more from consumers. You already, when other artists say it, then people call it hate. You know what I'm saying? If I say that myself, then people, if I say, man, the radio is whack, whatever, they're going to say, ah, you just saying that shit because you got K100. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
That's not necessarily the case. It's just my personal opinion. But I'm talking about, I hear regular people, regular average everyday people, and you know, people who just listen to music. You can see it on Facebook or Twitter, whatever. People who are not really in the industry, but they're my friends on there. And then when I go out and talk to people, they just feel, in general, hip-hop is getting whack. And what would you say is the blame for that? Before I go to the next thing, why would you say that?
You know, it's like they say self destruction. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna be the death of our own self, and it's just what we support. It's what the industry or the big heads out there are doing it. You know, they're approving what gets played on the radio. You know what I'm saying? Or they're doing it under table, paying off to put some bullshit on the radio just for a few G's, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think we're doing it to ourselves, but then again, you got the executives in the background like, shit, money, 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 do it, go. And then you get all this whack rap out here, and, you know, the game is just all messed up.
Okay, so now this is what I want to discuss, because now we got a couple people on the phone lines and people who may be listening to the podcast replay. I want everybody to pay attention to what she just said. She said that executives... First of all, she alluded to payola, which is indeed true. Yes. Payola goes on. You know what I'm saying? Also, she said that executives. Now, this is where I want to kind of school people who are listening to the show who may not understand the inner workings of the business. And I kind of touched on it earlier. The thing about it is the inner working, the way that you understand, right, that hip-hop is less profitable now. A hip-hop song is worth, a hip-hop single is worth less money than what it was 10 years ago, especially a long time ago. And a project, if they even drop an album and sell it, and that's an if. When you've got people who are signed to Def Jam that drop mixtapes and put them on live mixtapes, I mean, I don't even know. When they started doing that, when Lil Wayne, a person who sells a million records, starts making mixtapes.
Right.
You can blame executives and you can blame DJs and shit, but you gotta look square on the shoulder of some of these motherfucking artists.
Right.
What they thought was this, and I'm gonna let you give me your opinion. What they thought, and I know what they were thinking. They was in record deals or whatever that the labels was getting more money or whatever. You feel what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They weren't getting no money off the music. They was only getting show money and whatever else, right?
Right.
So they tried to be smart guys, do little side projects, call them mixtapes, whatever, save for promotional use only. You feel me? Try to make a little side money away from the feds, away from the label, whatever else. Work some deal out with a DJ Drama or something like that right there. Of course, then that's when your fucking shit gets kicked in by the feds and you get invested. But anyway, that's a whole other problem, a whole other issue that they got. But that's what happens when you do that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You try to you. But what I don't think that they sat and thought they will. It's like hip hop started to become such a hustle that they tried to fuse it so much in with the streets and the hustle that they fucked over the art form. You know what I'm saying? They fucked over the art form with the mixtapes. They fucked over the art form with bootlegging. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? To the point where you have major artists shipping bootleggers their CDs on the low, personally leaking their shit to the bootleggers on the low. You feel what I'm saying? Just so they can get high in the streets. They diluting the art form and taking away from the art form and the craft itself, right?
Yeah.
With any art form, whenever you do that, whenever you take away from it, with anything in life, once you reduce the quality of it, what do? It becomes what? Less valuable, right?
Right.
The less you do inequality, the more it becomes less valuable. They try to go, they try to turn hip hop into a McDonald's. You feel me? Where it's just so many of them and they're everywhere and it's so cheap to get whatever, everybody eats it. You know what I'm saying? It's what they try to do. I don't think the genre was ever intended to be fast food. Ever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's what they've done, and to their own peril. To their own peril. That includes artists, everybody. You know what I'm saying? It's only so much we can do as independent artists or whatever. But the point is that it's mutated into what it is now. And I'm feeling like it's not a good thing. We're not at a good point in hip-hop right now. It's less profitable. The genre is really disrespected. You've got situations like you as a female artist can understand where you got one female artist. How long has Nicki been out for? What is this? Year number two or three with Nicki?
It's about three, four.
It's like that? It's three or four? Really?
It's about three, four in.
With no comp. What is that? How ridiculous is that? Anywhere is sitting here and watching, and this is my problem. Excuse me. I'm really getting over cold. I'm getting over it, but I still got a little cough. And then I ran out of fucking halls. So now I'm stuck, but I got an hour left on the show. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I'm going to have to go ahead and take a shot of something in a minute. Clear my chest up. Yeah, anyway. No, seriously, though. Listen, LS, this is something I want you to really take as a female MC. And I know you probably thought of it a million times over. But there are other people listening, and I want them to understand that I look at everything from a wider perspective, you know what I'm saying, as an artist and also from media, this side of it, and as a consumer because I still love music.
Right.
When you have one female artist like Nicki Minaj, and she's got a 3-4 year reign, right? No other viable female to be the yin to her yang or whatever else. You know what I'm saying? Not only do you make it, you seemingly make it harder for another female because you say like a lot of women want to hate on Nicki Minaj, but I heard someone say one time in an article, every female MC should have been rooting for Nicki Minaj, whether you like her or not, to sell
records.
Because if she flops and she's got no competition, what does that mean for anyone else that's looking to sign and push another female act?
She's
no competition whatsoever. She's the only thing popping in the field. She's the only one talking directly to the females. If she can't sell a million fucking records, who can? In what situation will it work?
Right.
This is why females, you don't have to like Nicki, but never, ever, ever root for Nicki's downfall. You need to root for Nicki to stay and be the queen, bitch, and then have other girls come up and challenge that and let it go on and on in a circle. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what you want. You don't want Nicki to fall. You want Nicki to stay up there and then somebody have to come and dethrone that motherfucking broad. You feel what I'm saying? That's what you want. That's the ideal situation because that means that you could possibly be the runner, the competition.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You know, you take her away, then you've got to break it all the way back over and make a new female hot. And she got to take 3 years to eat up 3 years of time to become hot with no coming. But if Nicki loses, and I'm not even a Nicki fan. I don't even really like what she talks about half the time. You know what I'm saying? 90% of the time. But I understand why she's needed, and I understand it's a problem that she has no competition. And when she can't win with no comp, it's a problem for every female MC.
Exactly. I don't know, man. They've been doing it like that for a minute, though. You know? It's only room for one female hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? For a minute, they had, what was it? Like you said, Foxy Brown and Lil' Kim. But, I mean, I don't know what goes on behind things like that to make it seem like, oh, we only have room for one female hip-hop artist. And like I said, I know bad hip-hop artists. What's wrong? Where is it at? What's going wrong?
That's what you're saying is it. What you're saying is indeed the problem. The problem is not that there's only room for one female in hip-hop. It's the problem is that executives somewhere are trying to give you the illusion that it's only one room for one. But if you notice, if an executive was sitting around, the first thing they would do when listening to this conversation is they'd say, "Oh, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about." Because back in the day when we had Kim, Eve, and Foxy, all right, and then we had somebody else that pop up every now and again and drop a project like a Brat or some shit. In between then, you know, maybe Queen Latifah drops some shit every now and again. She gets a hair up her ass. She drops a project. Whatever you want to say. You know what I'm saying? You had those three. At that moment, they will argue that none of them, they didn't sell as many records as Nicki. I would argue this. If at least all of them at least went gold, some of them went platinum, depending on how good the project was. You know, when Foxy went crazy for a minute and lost it, she couldn't put out a good project, so the project was horrible. You know what I'm saying? Eve had all solid projects. All her projects did, you know, decent numbers. I don't think she had one that didn't go gold, at least. Some of them went platinum. You know what I'm saying? Some of them went multi-platinum, and at least all of them went gold. That's still 500,000 copies, and that was still in the era when bootlegging was still, at that point, bootlegging had came about and was still eating up money. So, you know, you really had more of the music really circulating more than that. She had more fans than what the sales was showing. So at this point, when an executive comes up and they say something to me like that, I'm like, yo, no, you full of shit. You know what I'm saying? You can't tell me that. You can't feed me that. You can't make me believe that this premise that y'all are saying, it's only room for one female femc in hip hop. And that's the reason why. That's so ridiculous. It doesn't even make any sense, real sense,
right,
when you sit and think about it. And you really look at the history of this genre. You only hurt the game. You know what I'm saying? And this is the part, this is the problem I'm saying with hip-hop in general. It has become like they only want to hear like one thing. You only need this one little single to work in the club or whatever. And this is where I'm going to piss a lot of people off right here with the DJs. You know what I'm saying? Every time I touch on the subject of DJs, Blizzum, people be like, yo, Blizzum, you be committing career suicide as an artist or whatever on K100 with some of the shit you say. And I'm like, okay. Last I checked, I was signed to Chainlist, motherfucker. I put out an album when the fuck I want to. You know what I'm saying? Period. You know what I'm saying? Whether it sell 5,000 or 5 million, nigga, can't nobody make me stop rapping, bitch. I got my own studio, and I got my own label. So I can put a fucking album out whenever I want to. May never be a superstar, probably won't be. Doesn't matter to me. I got enough fans to just sustain and feed me and say, Blizzum, when you gonna do some more shit? You know what I'm saying? And that's where I'm at with as an independent artist. And I want to make sure every independent artist listening to me understand this. You know already, LS, me and you know, everybody listening to this show that's an artist knows, the chances of becoming a level of Wayne, Drake, pick a nigga, no matter, pick your favorite nigga. That's like winning the fucking lottery. But
but
if you really do music, and this is the problem, let me stop the music right here, because now I'm going to really get deep. The problem... where hip-hop really went completely haywire is when more people at the top of the game was rapping because it was profitable and not because they loved to do it.
Mm-hmm.
When you start having rappers saying they wasn't rapping, why they rapping to you? And that was cool. And that was okay.
Right.
Shout out to Jeezy, but me and I've always taken issue with Jeezy for saying that. And a couple other people. As much as I feel like Jeezy is a dope, It makes good music. I've always taken issue with rappers who say they ain't rappers, who said, don't call me a rapper. Why the fuck not? You are rapping. You are an artist. You tell them you're not a rapper. Why you rapping to me on a song and you want to be called a hustler? Blah, blah, blah. No, but yeah, nigga, you still a rapper, though. You know what I'm saying? As if it's a bad thing to be a rapper. You can say you're a rapper and a hustler, but, you know, and I like his music. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? And I support him as an artist. I think he makes great music, but I've always taken issue with him and any motherfucking body else, and I've never backed away from saying it in front of anyone. You know what I'm saying? It's a problem. That's when everything in hip-hop started becoming where it is now. When it became, and that's when the DJs became more powerful than A&Rs, and that's when record deals stopped having any power. And that's why you can't get a record deal without it being a 360 deal now, because they can't sell music, because they can't make enough money off the music, because they diluted the artist pool so much to the point, because they were so worried about the single instead of the project that people just didn't want to buy the project anymore. And here we are now. Now they want to cry like little bitches and say, well, we're not making any money, so now we got to sign artists to 360 deals where we own the music and you, nigga, and your likeness and your ringtone and your brand. And if you do a Sprite commercial, nigga, we own, and your tour money, some of that too, nigga, we want everything.
Okay.
Now, but we can't sell CDs because we've diminished the artist pool and put out so much music that really should have never been given a record deal, but because they had one hot song that they was able to blow up in one region, you decided to go there and give them an album deal, and then you realize people don't want to hear that for 16 fucking tracks only once in the club while they dance behind a bitch. Duh. That was y'all fault. You know what I'm saying? And so it come back circle. You feel me? To bite them in the ass, and now it's all about, oh, they can't make any money now. You know what I'm saying? And here we are. And this is what hip-hop has become. This is why you know, I got no problem with mixtapes, but people feel mixtapes, you know, you give them away. You feel me? Mixtapes are just meant to be given away or whatever. It's for promotional use only. That's why people like Lil Wayne and them were able to have record deals and give away and make a whole separate project while they sign a Universal, sign a Def Jam, make a whole other project, and everybody know it's coming out and ain't shit the label can do about it.
Right.
Because it's for quote-unquote promotional use only. You know what I'm saying? But who, what other company do you know? I'm gonna ask you one more call after this, LS. I'm going to ask you this. What other company has a product that has something that they can sell, you know what I'm saying, but opts to give, it's one thing to give away demos. Everybody gives away demos. You know, you be in the store, people's like, yo, taste my food, taste this little bit of whatever, whatever. But to give away a whole project, to give away a whole project, and just say it's for promotional use only or whatever, because when you just a few years ago you could sell that whole thing and make millions of dollars off of it,
right?
But now you opt to just give it away now just to keep your name circulating and keep your name in the streets hot. That right there signals all kinds of problems from a whole slew of business aspects when you just sit back and look at it. But this is what hip hop did to itself. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Hip hop did it to itself, and the people did it to it too. Because at the end of the day, I don't want to put all the blame on DJs and execs and radio and artists. At the end of the day, people have to support the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
People have to. It was people who went out and bought bootlegs. It was people who went out and pirated songs and went to file sharing sites. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it was people who made some of the silliest songs ever be hot by dancing to it in the club. You know what I'm saying? So consumers have a lot to do with it. But the way hip hop has came full circle, what it has mutated into now, it's becoming less and less profitable. And like I said at the beginning of the show, if you don't fucking love this shit, I highly suggest you go ahead and go back to community college. Go ahead,
right.
Go hit your punch a clock, do something. Because if you're trying to get into hip hop right now for the money, boy, you ain't paying attention to shit. Are you? You ain't paying attention to shit. You ain't really looking. You don't really do this shit. You can't possibly right now in 2012 say you get into hip hop because you trying to get rich.
Mm-mm.
I kind of hope that's what happened. I kind of hope it becomes so unprofitable that niggas just feel like there ain't no money in that shit no more. And the motherfuckers who really don't love it just get the fuck back and just go back to the trap or do whatever the fuck else they was doing with their life. That's where I'm at with it right now. People can say that's fucked up, nigga. Fuck that. Because I do this shit. This shit is in my DNA. I can't function without doing music. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? It's the reason why I'm still doing it at this age and where I'm at now. You know what I'm saying? Even when I stop being an artist, I'm still going to be producing and recording and mixing and doing all that kind of stuff for other artists on my label and other stuff like that. So it's not, I'm never going to quit. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like in the grand scheme of things, you know what I'm saying? Everything that I just said, everything I just talked about is the reason why hip-hop has morphed and mutated into something that is not really what we want it to be right now. And it damn sure ain't profitable. Damn sure ain't profitable. You know what I'm saying? Not like it was. Puffy and all them. One last thing. Puffy, you see the Forbes list, right? The people in hip-hop. Puffy,
right.
Dre, and Jay-Z was at the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
Notice in that article when they put it out there that the reason why all three of those brothers had jumped so many notches. Everything that they did had something that really wasn't hip-hop, wasn't music. It wasn't the music. Jay-Z had all the money that he made from his other expenditures outside of music. Rock, all of them, Bad Boy didn't make hardly any money. Rock Nation, whatever he's got. That made far less money than about seven other things that Jay-Z had going on. Dr. Dre jumped way up to the motherfucking top because of the Beats by Dre headphone deal that he got. 50
right.
Cent was number four, I think, and he's still winning because of that goddamn vitamin water deal he did with Coca-Cola. That's why his ass still up there, even though he burning through money like that shit growing trees. You know what I'm saying? I mean, everything that these dudes are doing that's getting them to be top money people has absolutely nothing to do with the music.
It's true.
Nothing to do with the music. You know what I'm saying? My show is about hip hop. It's about the music. It's not. We're not talking about everything else because, as we well know, branding yourself becoming a brand is what you have to do in hip hop. Like LS, Lois Lane, you feel me? Your music, be hot or whatever, but you know, I hope, and if you don't, I'm pretty sure at this point, you know, you grinding enough that you should know that your brand is worth far more than your music.
Right.
Exactly.
Yep.
Because that's the brand is thing. Yes. That's why everybody's giving that's why all the labels want to give artists 360 deals, because Jeezy the Snowman, the facade of Jeezy, the X Dope, the facade of Young Jeezy is worth more than the music. He can only make so much money selling that music, but he's a snowman. He is a trap. I am the street. The fact that people view him as that of hip hop, that's worth more money than an actual recording. You understand? Branding. It's for the people who might not necessarily know about that. That's a little bit 101 right there. Just a little bit. But my beloved hip hop is mutated into something that is not good for it. It's hopefully we can come out of it. You think we're gonna come out of it? What you think? Where do you think we headed, LS?
Well, I think it's just about to go, like, it's just about to evolve and kind of spin around a little bit. I think it's just going to evolve a little bit. We can save it, but we got to start, like, yesterday, you know what I'm saying? But I think that, like you said, a lot of people are getting tired of these whack artists, these whack-ass singles, one-hit wonders. So they're about to take it to another level. They're about to try to step up the game a little bit, and everybody going to want to do a little bit of crossover touch. That's cool. And once we touch that crossover, then hopefully from that it'll evolve back into what hip-hop music really is.
Yeah. I hope you're right. I'm going to take one more call. Let me get to another one. Well, not one more. I'm going to take another one. Thanks for calling in, though. I really appreciate it. Make sure y'all check out the Subway. LS has a song called On and On. On and on, and it goes hard. And it's what do you call it? Pop?
I call it alternative hip hop. You know, with a touch of pop.
Okay. I like that record though. You
gotta
give me that record. If I had money as an executive, I would sign you and support that record and push it.
That's because
I'm gonna get Black Eyed Peas money out of you. Yeah, I'm gonna get that Black Eyed Peas money. Yeah, 3 years from now, I can have her opening up on the Super Bowl. So you gotta look at. She could be opening up with Madonna in 10 years, you know, maybe a small amount of time. You have to look at artists for what they do and what their potential branding possibilities are when you look at them from an executive. You know what? These motherfuckers could give me an executive job at any one of these motherfucking failing labels, and I have them back around in 5 years. Everybody on there going platinum. Everybody on there got Sprite commercials in that bitch. Everybody doing world tours and collaborating with everybody. All you got to tell me, let me pick them out. These motherfuckers don't know what they're doing.
That's work. They ain't working. You got to put in that work. I'm trying to work.
I believe when I see you, I believe that. I see that. I hear that. I look at you. I say, yeah, people will listen to that all over, not just black people, everybody. I can get people in South America with that. I can sell that everywhere. And that's
I went to the strip club about 2 weeks ago, and a white strip club, man. Hey. I was surprised.
Surprised by that? Why?
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't have been surprised to see you go to I've heard your music, and I see what you look like, and I've seen your videos and performance, and I would have bet money that would have worked. Why you were shocked? I'm shocked about that. I don't think you should have been shocked. No. If you're shocked about that, I'm shocked that you're shocked about that. Considering your look, stage presence, and what kind of music you make, I don't think that's a far-fetched. I could take you to a club called La Ville in Panama City and just continually make a lot of money like that. Should do that.
We can talk later.
All right. Stand by. All right.
For sure.
All right. 954-919 K100. What's up? Who's this? What up, though?
What's up? Why did Jay Luciano? What's going on, nigga?
Luciano. Stop that line.
What's up, though?
Howdy, man. Well, thanks for calling into the show, man. Appreciate it. What's going on with you, man?
Nothing, man. Just working, man. Getting this mixtape together, you know.
All right. I feel you. So what do you think about what we're talking about? Episode 306.
I hip-hop. Have some good points.
Yeah, hip-hop.
About the mutation, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And the number one thing that I would say you hit the nail on the head with is, you know what I mean? A lot of people that's doing it, they not doing it for the love no more. You know what I mean? It's for the check. And for that check, they got to go and do certain things that they probably wouldn't have done before, you know what I'm saying, 5-10 years ago, you know what I mean?
Right.
And
Go ahead.
Yeah, so, you know, that was one of them. And then the other one is, you know, like you're saying, like, basically, a lot of people don't know, but the reason why a lot of these labels giving out those single deals, back in the day, they used to have a bunch of artists signed. You already know.
Yeah.
A couple of the artists were the top artists that's bringing in all the revenue for the label. Then they had tax write-off niggas. They had other people signed to the label that was up in the middle. But then when all the bootlegging happened, you know what I'm saying, they couldn't afford to just be carrying their weight.
Yep.
So they got rid of all of that. They got their main money makers. And then if somebody, what they started doing is, you know, everybody wanted to get on the Master P, you know what I'm saying, Puffy, you know, independent thing. So they just start sitting back, okay, that's less work we got to do. So what they did was let you push your record, get your record hot, and then they come in and sign you to a single deal. It's cheaper for them to sign you to a single deal than for them to sign you to a regular album deal. So that's where we got the big boom of the single deals coming in at. And then they don't care if you may not even make it to an album. You may just have that one single, and you may be out of there.
Yep.
So the game just kind of went sideways. Then once you add that into all the downloading with the, you know, all those internet sites that was, like you say, dudes was making side deals on the side to, you know, bootleg their own stuff and all that kind of stuff. That just took it to a whole nother direction, man. And that's why everything led to where, you know, where we at with a combination of those things. You know what I'm saying?
How would you fix it? Let's say right now, I'm gonna let you say. I'm listening to what you're saying, and the fact that you know that, and that's absolutely 100% true. You know what I'm saying? Everything that you said is what happened. That's what happened. That's not the only thing, but that is some of the stuff that transpired in the past couple of years. You know, I say over the last decade especially, to where we're at right now, hip-hop. What would you... Now, you know, you have to take into account right now, it is what it is. Someone gives you the keys to run Universal or Def Jam, or let's say those guys are kind of surviving. Let's say somebody... Let's say Jive wanted to make a comeback. Jive Records, who basically are pretty much almost out of commission. If they haven't even closed down shop all the way, I don't even know yet. I haven't checked up on that. But they have, you know, their roster was pretty much all dropped and everybody got shipped over to somewhere else or something like that from what I heard. But then, you know, you could take Warner Brothers or something like that right there. What if you were the executive and brought in and said, we need to come back right now. We need to make money in the industry and we need to, we're going to give you the keys. We're going to let you make the decision. We got a little bit of money. What would you do? What would you go about doing first?
The first thing I do is when I bring the artist to the label, then I have to sit everybody down and just let them know what the strategy is. Being that, think about it like any other business. When you first start something out, I don't even care if you're in the streets, if you selling T-shirts, whatever you selling, you damn near got to give your stuff away, you know what I'm saying, for people to see the value. And then once everybody get the perception in their head that, oh, this shit tight, then that's when people will start buying it. You can take the price back up. So the first thing to answer your question is the prices won't have to come down, because if everybody else charging $10 and we already see $10, $12 and nobody going to buy, what'd that tell you? So common sense, I'd slash the prices off the rip.
Okay, let me, right here, let me stop. Okay, now, so you say that, right? You say, well, we're going to slash the prices, right?
Right.
You can say that's what you're going to do on your end, but you can't tell a record store or a distributor or, you know, other people how they're going to drop their prices to. So when you say that, you got to understand that if you're talking about selling music, so you're saying you're going to slash the prices as far as the CDs goes, but you got to think about what it costs for retailers to hold the CD and what they feel like they're going to make off each one of them also. So then you got to work out a deal with the distributor and everything else all the way down the line. You can say this. You can say as a record label, well, we want to charge less money for the album. Well, what if Best Buy or, you know, whoever else that still sells CDs, you know what I'm saying, says, fuck that. We're not dropping the price of our shit. Fuck you mean?
Guess
we
what?
We need to hold $2.
What you gonna do? I'm glad you said that.
Okay.
My plan wouldn't even go through them. I set up a website just for my label. So if it's, in this example, it's Jive. So I'm cutting all them out, because if they want to hit me with that, oh, well, we need this number, and that's why I got to be 10 and 12 and all that, all right, cool. I ain't got to go that route. You know what I'm saying? We set up a website. You know what I'm saying? We sell our music directly to the customer straight from the website. We can charge what we want to charge.
All right. All right. Hold up. Let me stop it right here one more time. Let me tell you something. So now what you've done is you've said that us Jive Records are going to, I said Jive, somebody who's a major player who at one point was as big as Universal or Def Jam, anybody else. You've said that we're not going to be in the same league as Def Jam and everybody else, because Def Jam artists are going to have, because we know as big as the internet is now, right now, everybody that listens to music, especially hip hop, don't have access to the internet. I don't even know. Motherfuckers who listen to certain kind of rappers and certain kind of shit, everybody who listens to Lil Boosie might not be able to go to their website and have a credit card and download that shit. But you may have artists on your roster that may fit that bill, that genre. Maybe, maybe not. Who knows to the time. But now, you just said, oh, I'm going to take away, I'm going to act more like an indie. I'm going to act more like an independent label than I am going to act like I'm Jive when you made that move. Is that a move that Jive would make? Really? Would Def Jam stop selling CDs?
Well, that's the thing. I understand where you're going. You know what I'm saying? But this is just me. Like, this is how I would do it. I can't say how somebody else would do it, but this is, you know, that's how I would do it. I don't take the conventional method of just doing what everybody else do. I try to be, like, revolutionary and come up with my own, you know, unique ideas, but not so far left field that it won't work. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So that's just personally what, you know what I'm saying, I would try to do, because what they're doing right now, it's not working. Like, you know, and like you say, it's, we so far in the rut, you know what I'm saying, with the music. When I say we, I'm talking about, you know, the major labels and everything.
Right.
Because like you say, people feel like, they felt like years ago, like, man, I bought the album, it was whack. You know what I'm
right.
saying? So I'm just going to buy the single. You know what I'm saying? But in order to get people to get back on buying albums, oh, you got to do something different. You know what I'm saying? You got to do something, because what's going on right now, it ain't working. Everybody feel happy. Just, you got people that's not even signed. They could go straight to iTunes. You know what I'm saying? My song on iTunes. I got
right.
my own website. My song is on my website. And it's on my website cheaper than what is on sale for iTunes. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I can sell. So that's why I say I would do it different. Jive may not, or a major label may not necessarily operate and what I just said, but that's just how I would do it. You feel what I'm saying? Because,
right.
like you say, certain people, if you can't drop the price too low, because, you know, the retailer's got to have this, the distributor's got to have that, this, X, Y, Z, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But we so far in the hole, man, as far as, like, you know what I'm saying, the labels and stuff, that's why they went to the 360s, because they started, you know, they started the single deals before they started the 360s, and then that still wasn't enough. You know what I'm saying? So they went to the 360. So they're like, okay, we get these artists, you know what I mean? They making their money off shows, so we going to get a piece of their show, like you say, piece of their branding, a piece of their... Some of these artists, they don't even own the way they look, bruh. Let me repeat that again. Some people don't even understand what I just said. Some of these artists, when they sign a deal, if they miss that clause in that paperwork, they don't even own the way they look, which means they got to wear what the record exec or whoever's in charge, this is your image and this is what you got to do. That's, they done gave up everything. If they signed,
they gave up their likeness.
Deal,
yeah, they gave up their likeness. That's what it's called.
They,
giving up your likeness.
Shoe deal, anything. They give up
right.
a piece of all that. They own a restaurant, open up a restaurant with their mama. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's
so,
crazy.
It is crazy, man. I think, but I think I wasn't trying to discourage what you were saying. I was just saying, what about, you know, because when you say that, people say, oh, Now, I'll tell you what, I'm going to go to the next call, 444-447, I'm coming to you. I'll tell you what would really work with what you said.
Yeah.
That would work once your roster is hot. You know what I'm saying? Like right now, once your roster has a solid fan base, like what I would do right now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would sign two veterans that are good, but may have got dropped because of the label shifts, or a veteran who just really wants to get at their fucking deal. I might buy it out if I got the capital to do that with a fan base, right? With a real fan base.
Yeah.
This is how I would enact your plan, right? I would sign two veteran artists. You know, like say for like, you know, remember when Busta Rhymes just signed to somebody else and they were like, he signed to who? You know, whatever,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that right there. You know what I'm saying?
I would try
to find an artist who was in a situation like that that had a fan base that who could probably move 250,000 units, no problem. Just once you put it out there on the internet that he's got something coming out, it's 250,000 people probably going to buy that record. You know what I'm saying? I would do that, get that artist. What that would do is that would drum up participation of buying music that way, seeing if it would work, and you ain't got to worry about blowing the artists themselves up and then driving the traffic to the site. Because the artist has true fans who are going to go wherever the fuck they need to go to get that music.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, thus, I would probably, that would work. And like I said, if I took it over, I would get a veteran artist, whether it be pop or whatever genre. You probably want to try that with a genre outside of rap first. You know what I'm saying? That's the very first thing I would do with any label. I'm going to sign, I can't just have an all rap label, period. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I
yeah,
just
yeah.
cannot have a label that all that's on it is rappers. If I had enough money to really push it, if I got real money to really push a label, we gonna have to have some. We need some country artists, pop, alternative. You know what I'm saying? R&B, and so we need a label. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A problem that I really have. I said this on one of my other shows. A real problem that I have with a lot of the quote unquote rap labels is a lot of them, instead of looking like Universals, they limit themselves all the time, because instead of looking like Universal or Def Jam or something like that and becoming a label and a brand that can cross genres like that, or, you know, really push different kind of music, they become like glorified cliques. Everybody got
right.
the chain on and all this other kind of shit, and it just like y'all look like a gang of niggas that goddamn got some shit going on, but y'all don't look like a record label. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, y'all don't look like a motherfucking record label, though. Y'all don't look like a Jive or a Warner Brothers, and that's what, if me personally, that's what I would rather have Chainless Entertainment be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I would immediately drop anyone who went and got a Chainless Entertainment chain made. You're fired. I'm dropping you from the label right now. Because now you're making me look like No Limit or some shit. You know what I'm saying? You feel me?
Right.
Because, you know, you got me with this. You got me looking like a glorified clique instead of a professional label. And I would make it more. But the first thing you have to do that is to step outside your genre and start signing
right.
other acts. And you can't promote yourself as a rap label. You know what I'm saying? And that's
right.
the first. I think a lot of people like No Limit and stuff like that, when they were in positions like that right there, to me, that was the craziest thing in the world. Once you have $500 million, you should have immediately just either, you could have had No Limit for just rap only, but I would have immediately branched out and started a whole other label that has, no one's getting necklaces of this shit, no one's getting this shit tattooed on their body. This shit is just this, and we sign pop, whatever else we need to do, you feel me? And anything else, you know what I'm saying? And we making that kind of money, you know. At that point, I'd have been looking for the next Justin Bieber, Jennifer Lopez, whatever the fuck else you want to pick, that, you know, crossover, Katy Perry, what the fuck ever. You know what I'm saying? Anything but niggas in jeans and t-shirts. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, but you have to think like that. You have to think of a, that's why I was telling the artist that was on my line a minute ago, LS, Lois Lane. I'm like, I would immediately sign an artist like that. You know what I'm saying? Just because of what she looks like and the kind of music she makes, I know she's going to make that Black Eyed Peas money that you can't make when you got a Lil Boosie. You know what I'm saying? He'll never
right.
make that kind of money. Ever, 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 ever. Never.
Nah, you right.
Never gonna happen,
right.
homie. I don't give a fuck how many niggas love that nigga, and I like him as I respect his grind and everything, but nigga, he'll never generate Black Eyed Peas income. Not gonna happen. That is not hate. That's just the simple mathematics of it all, because his reach ain't that far. He don't have that.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you right.
Right,
yeah,
so...
You're right.
Yeah, so, you know, we gonna find somebody. We're going to find a couple of them, you know what I'm saying, and we're going to put them out there. And if they have to be the ones that feed the rap label, you know, if we have to do the old school labels and take the money we make off their ass to fucking make this hip-hop shit work, that's what we'll damn do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because we're going to have some hip-hop on the label. We're going to have some rap. Damn it, that's what we came from. But, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that's just one thing I would do as an exec, you know what I'm saying? I would focus greatly on other genres. Profitable genres, country, they still profitable. Gospel, profitable. You know what I'm saying? Depending on if you get the right act. Got to get the right act.
Right.
Gotta
and the
right
last
act.
Thing I want to say, the last thing I want to say, too, is I know you're going to go to another caller, is that I want to piggyback off of that, too. Because, if you think about it, like all those other genres of music, they don't have to give away free stuff. They don't care, you know what I'm saying, what the artist is wearing, and they don't care if this and that. So, you know, if they like the music, it's just based on they like the music, and then they go buy the records or they go buy the album. So, like you say, that's another point. You know what I mean? So it's so much stuff that you would have to do if you went and took over a label. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's you can't go so far left field, but it's some things, like, and a lot of these things that we, you know, I mentioned, you mentioned, some of the things that would need to be done, but it's so much that has to be done, man. It's crazy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it
but
is.
But the main thing would be just making great music. Like you say,
yes.
People went back to doing a whole bunch of, and that's the point I didn't get to yet, but, you know, that would be the probably second or third thing that I would, you know, do in combination. Like, you got to have that full album of just joints that, like you say, people can't be like, damn, I don't want to hear this shit for 12, 16 songs, you know what I'm saying? It got to be all different type, you know, stuff that you can reach different people with, you know what I'm saying? And it got to be good quality music, the mixing and the same effort you put into that single, it got to be into them, I don't even like to say album filler, because if it's an album filler, in my opinion, it shouldn't even go on the album.
Oh, yeah, the term album filler, you know what I'm saying? I think the term album filler is when you make one of those records where you are talking to a specific niche crowd, a specific crowd of people where, you know, because I feel like I don't have, on my album, I have what I call, I don't call them album fillers, I call them targeted songs, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
I have two songs on my album where I am totally not talking to dudes at all. The song is not for y'all, nigga, feel free to press fast forward past that record. I'm talking specifically to a group of people, that is black women, period. It's called Queen. You know what I'm saying? And if you're not, and if you, I'm going to look at you suspect if you ride around bumping track 20 on the cinema of me, nigga, in your car. You know what I'm saying? Unless your mama in the car or some shit like that, you feel me? You kind of suspect into that record because it is, really is a big, it's a big up to black women. You know what I'm saying? The record is that's exactly who it was for. It wasn't made for dudes to be riding around listening to. It wasn't really made for white women. It was made for black women to give them a boost, to make them, you know what I'm saying? I made that song for black women. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, someone may call that an album filler, but to me, it's called a targeted song. Those songs, I can let artists slide with those. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you know, we definitely would go back to the old Motown days where we got people sitting in the room asking you, would you give this last dollar, your last dollar for this song or a cheeseburger? You know what I'm saying? We definitely gonna go back to those days as a group of people, as a label home, and as a family. That would be the kind of atmosphere that I would definitely promote. You know what I'm saying? In order for it to be successful, I think you have to have that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you need, man. If everybody start treating their whole album as just 10 singles or 12 singles or 15 singles or whatever the case may be, then we can get back to people saying, "Hey, I'm gonna go cop that whole album. I'm gonna, you know, the whole thing fire." You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the number one thing.
No one wants to listen to the same kind of song for 16 songs, 13 songs, whatever. No one wants to do that. You've never heard a platinum album ever in your life that every song sounded the same until recently. The past couple of years, you had some that kind of got close that kind of sounded the same, but then they still had some different stuff up in there. Even Jeezy now gets it. You know, when you listen to the new Jeezy record, Jeezy's new record, all them songs ain't sounding the same. Jeezy gonna do Jeezy, but them collaborations, that's where collaborations come in, and different producers. Because when I listen to this last record, I'm like, oh, he's sounding like a platinum artist on this record. You know what I'm saying? Well, all songs are different. He's talking about different. He's still doing Jeezy on them, and he can't, because that's what he does. That's just what he does. But the production match with some of the collaborations and stuff, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You feel me? That record sells a million records. I won't be surprised. You know what I'm saying? Because he had the banging singles, and then he's got the record itself is spread it out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, that's what them classics made of, man. Them classics, like you say, them classics. When it comes to them classics, they classics because it don't sound the same the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? We get back to them, that mentality of making albums and not just, oh, let me get this single deal and let me just get this single out there and make a couple bucks. You know, we get back to them focusing on trying to make classic albums, then it should turn around. Consumers will go, you know, they'll go cop. You know what I mean?
I think I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna get off the line with you. I think.
Right.
We think the consumers will go buy it, but we don't know that.
We don't know that.
We hope that's what happens if we go back to doing that. We hope. But Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for having a chit chat with me, man. I'm glad you tuned in. All right.
All right, bro.
All right. 347-934-0966. That's the number dialed to my show. I guess my 404 number was like, nigga, you taking too long. Episode 306. Hip Hop X, the mutation of rap. Make sure if you're on the phone lines right now, you want to hit me up or you want to talk or whatever, hit the number one on the phone lines. Press the number one on your keypad. On your keypad. If you want to talk about what we're talking about, and we had a couple of calls from different people talking about the mutation, I would call the changes in hip-hop, the genre, you know what I'm saying? And also a lot of the changes that's going on behind the scenes of the game that people just don't know about the way record deals are structured, what record deals consist of now, because they don't consist of what they used to, and that's largely in part because the genre of hip-hop has become less profitable, but it's become less profitable for a multitude of reasons. I think everybody has a role into why it has become less profitable, from the artist to the DJ to the exec to the radio exec and to the consumer. You can't place it all on one person. It was just a culmination of things that just didn't go right over this past decade with the genre, just from, hey, take it how you want to call it, but from the caliber, all right? Oh, 444-447, here I come. I see you back on the line. From the caliber of artists, that's the problem. The caliber of who, and that's where you can blame certain people, because you can say, well, it's the caliber of artists, but somebody had to sign them, and somebody had to play it, and somebody had to push it. And somebody had to give them the single deal or the 360 or whatever the hell they got. But yeah, but the caliber of the artists, you can't just say that. Some artists just, you know, it's always been whack artists per se, I guess you want to call it. Of course, the term whack is totally an opinionated word, but still. But then you've got everybody else in power positions. This is where media, radio, DJs, and everybody else have to hold their hand up and say, yeah, I did that, and that's why a genre who made far more money just a decade ago is not making as much now, you know, and even 15 years ago was making even more money, 20 years ago, me even more money than that, even more profitable. Now, the problem everybody's going to say about it is, and this is where everybody's going to jump down my throat, is, Blizzum, you full of shit. I got to make sure I bring this point up so I don't feel like I'm just leaving out this major key point. Hey, Blizzum, one thing you fail to realize is, yeah, hip-hop made a lot more money back then, but guess what? Artists wasn't getting as a bigger chunk back then. The record labels was getting everything. Nigga, you forgot about that? No, I did not forget about that. I didn't forget about that little tidbit of information, ladies and gentlemen. I understand totally, all right, that's what was going on back in the day. I know that. You know what I'm saying? You know, I know some of these new jacks came out and restructured their deals and everything, you know, but not that I want to go back to the days of the 70s when people like, you know, the people in the 70s was, you know, selling a million records and then living homeless. I don't want deals like TLC to be floating around out here. You know what I'm saying? Where you be the number one selling group in the genre and for females of all time and you motherfuckers are all broke. I don't want that. I don't want those days of the business side of the game. But then you can't, I mean, can we have a happy medium in this motherfucker? You know what I'm saying? I mean, can we have record labels being able to make money and being able to make enough money to put out other artists on a massive level that you just can't do as an independent artist, so they can still need to be more profitable and we need to break more bread, you know what I'm saying, with the artists? You know, but shit, I understand that. I know artists didn't get hardly any money. But y'all kept all y'all show money then. And if y'all did blow up and become superstars, ask Will Smith and LL Cool J, the motherfuckers didn't get that money too either. I'm just saying. Imagine if Will Smith and LL Cool J was in fucking 360 deals. Just imagine that. 404-447. What up, though? 447. Okay, I'm going. I don't know. hung up, call back, hit the one, hung up, call back, hit the one, and now they ain't talking. Okay, anyway, 347-934-0966, that's the number to dial into the show, man. Welcome to www.blogtalkradio.com/K100Radio. If I haven't told you already, which I don't remember doing it, make sure you guys follow me on Twitter, man. Follow me on Twitter, at K100_radio, at K100_radio. We have a couple of ongoing series here on the show. Of course, we play music, but we also do discussions. I decided to talk about something hip-hop related on this particular talk segment. But if you don't know, we have Illa Kill, which is where the artists send in the music to the show. We play it on the air. And then the people tell us, is it ill or should it be killed? And they let us know what they think about it, you know what I'm saying? And if it's good, you know what I'm saying, if it's hot, then we take it and then we put it into rotation on our all music segment, the Subway. And that's where we just run music the whole show. I don't know any talking. I just pretty much introduce myself. I start playing fucking music like for 2 hours straight, sometimes three, if I got enough time, you know what I mean? And that's basically what goes on here with the show, man. You know, those are the two music segments of the show, and sometimes we have specialty stuff where we have like the indie one-on-one shows where we really talk about how to help get yourself music and marketing, and we talk about publishing and writers associations and stuff like that, stuff that artists need to know just in case they don't know. You know, saying how to go about marketing yourself as an independent artist. And what else we do? Oh, we do, and then we do all other kind of talk shows too, where we just talk about politics and stuff. We may have a show where we just talk shit about what's going on in the world, like some shit we might see on fucking Facebook, drama. We talk about relationship issues. I haven't had a show where I talk about sex and relationships in forever. I got to have one of those, man. When I had those shows, I'd be having like 50 people on the phone line. Everybody like talk about fucking. I don't know what's wrong with you people out there today, but they do for some reason. And those shows are always highly popular when we do those particular ones. But tonight we're talking about hip hop X, the mutation of rap, and how it's changed over the past couple of years, and what it has become, and what it has mutated into. We gave out a little tidbit of information about some things that people might not know. You know, we had some of the callers give out good advice, things that they know about what's going on behind the scenes, and just general information about why hip-hop is a genre where you've got people who all they listen to is hip-hop going around saying, I don't fuck with hip-hop. You know, you don't hear people that listen to rock going around saying, rock and roll is just trash now. I don't even listen to rock anymore. I'm just going to start listening to some other shit. But you hear people saying that? You hear people who love jazz saying that? You hear people who love country saying that? Pop? No. They say, oh, I don't like Britney Spears, but now they may like the new Knicks, whatever. People are saying, I'm done fucking with rap. I'm like, what the fuck did we do? What did we do as a genre to make people who only listen to our genre say, I'm not fucking with rap no more? Don't you see that on your Facebook and your Twitter and your friends and them? They be like, man, I don't even listen to rap no more. That shit, so I can't even fuck with it. How many times do you hear that? We hear it all the time now. I hear it all the fucking time now, man. You know what I'm saying? And why? What is making people say that? What is making people do that? It's a culmination of things. not the least of which is the music. You just can't say it. It's been over the last decade, we've had some not so great music come to the forefront and get pushed. But it isn't always about the music. A lot of times, and let me tell you something else, man. Let me just put some real shit on the table that I didn't even think about saying. Now, I want you guys to know, this is K100 Radio. All right, it's for keep it 100. That's what it means. Just keep shit 100. On the real, though, you got a lot of people who got signed and got pushed because they're not intelligent. Let me tell you something about being an intelligent rapper. They don't want your ass. Most of the time, the people in power positions don't like smart rappers. I'm one of those guys. A lot of people don't like me. Just saying. And it's not because I did anything to them. It's because, A, I'm very, very, very raw and uncut and truthful, and I'm not stupid. I don't know how many people know or follow my career, but if you really check for me and look at me, I'm a pretty well-established independent artist, you know? I've actually had songs that were in rotation on three markets, 1P1, which was in Atlanta, and a couple of markets in Florida. I've had a single that did pretty good. You can find my music a lot of places that a lot of artists aren't, you know, like places like Pandora and stuff like that right there. It's just a testament to the grind. But what you have to understand is years ago, I was in a position to be signed to a major, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't do it. I was advised not to do it by an entertainment attorney who I paid to look at my contract. And he said, if you sign this contract, you may become a star or you may get shelved. He said, because he knew that the label was going through something. Come to find out that label failed 3 years later. And everybody on that label, everybody else, they didn't even put any more music out in the next 3 years. Everybody got shelved and then the label dissolved and everybody lost their deals. But it was at the time, it was still considered a major label. And he told me that even if they do come out of whatever they're going through or whatever, if you blow up and they push you and you sell a million records, you'd be one of those rappers who, you know, depending on how much tour money you make, you could end up broke if you don't manage your money right. Now, I told him I fully intended on managing the money right. And then he also informed me that my advance was ridiculous. Ridiculous what they were offering for an advance. So he said, and then you'd be one of these rappers who signed to Warner Brothers and you still fucking working a day job. Okay, so fine. I was advised not to do it. I didn't do it. Okay. But I was in a position to do it, but I didn't. And come to find out, at the end of the day, probably saved me. I don't know what would have happened had I done it. You know, maybe the connects would have panned out. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? But I don't, it is what it is. I don't lose any sleep over it. It was a decision I made, and it was a decision I was advised not to do. But in the grand scheme of things, when I sit back and I look at it, and I'm like, you know, I realize that how many rappers wouldn't have, A, got an attorney to, A, look at it, and how many of them would have said, I don't give a fuck anyway, you know what I'm saying? At that particular time, I was living comfortably anyway. You know what I'm saying? A roof over my head, car, you know, kids taken care of type of situation. Well, actually, my kids were kind of just born. Like maybe, you know what I'm saying, really kind of just born at that time. Small, small kids, babies. And but everything's okay. You know, I wasn't struggling. I wasn't living at home with my moms or anything like that. So maybe that kind of, you know, the fact that I was stable already, maybe, but I still feel like I just did the smart thing. And what if I would have signed it and that would have been the worst mistake ever or whatever? But I've noticed, and when you talk to people, a lot of them, and this is, I'm not trying to, I don't want to say anybody's name specifically, but what I'm saying is a lot of artists who may make a certain kind of music, who may not say the most intelligent thing or whatever, or blah, 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 they may not be the smartest. And actually, labels, people prey on artists like that because they can manipulate them for whatever it is they need to accomplish. And that's why they pushed their product instead of an artist who may have had superior music but understood the music business also, and it's not as easy to fuck them over. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have to really consider that when you consider why is that artist, that music getting pushed. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they were taken advantage of. You know what I'm saying? Now, once the label says, oh, we'll get him to sign anything, whatever, and then they push it, you know, the label can force feed a DJ because they can kick him out of it. That's payola. The DJs are now, the DJs are payola now, period, point blank. If you don't believe that, then you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. DJs are payola. Radio is payola. You know what I'm saying? DJs no longer break what they like. They break what they play, what they're paid to break now. All the DJs who go ahead and go sign into that. But then again, a DJ middle finger to me like, nigga, fuck you. I got bills to pay. Fuck you and your show. C'est la vie. Anyway, that's what's happening. You know what I'm saying? So the DJs is payola and the radio is payola. And maybe they don't want to push a motherfucker who understands that they may bring a situation to and they can see clearly that that's a fucked up deal or a fucked up situation. Maybe they don't want to push that artist. I'm not saying that every time you hear a dumb song, it's a dumb artist. Because you got people that's seemingly smart who make seemingly stupid music. We know some people that's out there like that. Seemingly. We don't know. We don't know, just seemingly. You know, fabricated stories or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But the point is, you have to understand that when everybody like, why are they pushing that shit? It's a lot of reasons why they're pushing that shit. You know what I'm saying? And behind it, a lot of times, is money. Sometimes the most talented, intelligent artist doesn't have any money. And sometimes the dumb motherfucker got street money. You know what I'm saying? Or the dumb motherfucker may say the dumb motherfucker may say a lot of dumb shit that a lot of motherfucker dumb people that go to that same dumb club like. And that damn dumbass DJ keep playing it because all them same dumb motherfuckers in that club get crunk every time they play that dumbass motherfucking song. And now that dumbass song is hot. And now everybody is fucking wanting to hear it all over the world because it's hot. Because all the dumb people like it. You have to just take it's so many facets. It's just not so simple as what you think. But what I would subscribe and say to you is, you know, at the end of the day, hip hop has changed and it has come full circle to where it is now. But some people like this. Like some people listen to my show. You got rappers who be like, ain't shit wrong with hip-hop. Hip-hop ain't broke. It is what it is. You got to get how you live. This is how the game being played. Get rid of the fuck you, nigga. Get the fuck out. Or I could just say, nigga, fuck that shit you talking about. Like, and if anybody feel like that, I'm like, nigga, right now on the air, I'm like, nigga, fuck that shit you talking about. I don't give a fuck, nigga. You can't make me believe what you want me to believe. I believe what the fuck I want to believe. That's why this is my show, and I say what the fuck I want to say on it. Period, point blank. And I don't back down, nor do I change when you see me in the streets. Same person, same attitude. Same opinion. And everybody who knows me knows that. It's always the same guy. You get the same person all the time. But you have people who say, this is how the game's being played now. And if niggas don't like it, then they need to get the fuck out of the game or whatever. Or you can have an open forum about how you feel about it. And you can come on my show like K100 or something and say, I think the game is getting kind of crazy. And this part of it is fucked up and now whatever. But you still go in it. You still do it. And I'm still in the music industry. As much as I complain about how it is now, whatever, you know what I'm saying? When I hang up off the show tonight, I'm finna crank my Pro Tools rig up, and I'm finna start writing to some tracks and some other stuff that I got working on with another producer that sent me some more stuff and some other stuff I got going on. This is what I do. This is what I love to do. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to put an album out later this year, if God willing, and it's because I fucking can. You know what I'm saying? And That's just what it is over here with me. Everybody's not in that position to do that. Everybody doesn't have the means to do that. But what we just discussed on the show tonight is really what's going on in hip-hop, in front of the scenes and behind the scenes. And you can't deny that people are saying, people who grew up on hip-hop and listening to the genre are saying, I ain't fucking with hip-hop no more. I'm going to listen to something else. You know what I'm saying? Or they're not listening to their radio, or they're not listening to the radio. They're listening to K100, or they're listening to... Or they go into the internet and downloading their own random music. They don't buy mixtapes because they feel like whatever DJ tell them to listen to is probably going to be garbage anyway, because they're not telling them to listen to what's hot. They're telling them to listen to what they got paid to listen to. They got paid to tell them to listen to. All these facets, all these different facets of it all, it all ties into one thing that we do know. Hip-hop is changing. It's been changing since the onset, and it will continue to change. Whether or not it has changed for the worse, we don't know. What we do know is it's less profitable. The pool of talent that gets pushed by major artists is smaller. That's what we do know. Those are irrefutable. Those are the facts. That's not my opinion. Whether or not hip-hop is getting whack, that's an opinion. I don't know. You ask somebody that's 18 to 25, they'll listen to 107.9 all day, every day. I can't take it for 5 minutes. But that's just me. That's just me. You know what I'm saying? Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to www.blogtalkradio.com/K100Radio. 404 is back on the line. Let me try them again. I went to their line the last time. They wouldn't say shit before I go. 404.
404. 447.
What's good, brother? What up,
though? Who this? This Ray Money, homie. I had got caught in the tunnel, man. Man, it's a long, long story. But I know I had to make sure I caught in and checked in tonight. And it's been a good show, man. I've been listening. Off and on every time I was catching the signal, you know what I mean, coming back in town. But I just wanted to just holler at you, man. I'm really taking a listen, man, and most of them me finna interject my opinion, which I kind of tend to do from time to time. I'ma just say, everything that I heard tonight, I'm going to take in with heed. From the job situation to the last little 5-10 minutes of how you just broke everything down, which is very much understood, because I'm going to be absolutely honest with you, brother. As far as I felt like I done came, I ain't went nowhere. Like, I still be scratching my head on how to get on Pandora, and I just actually found out last week, and this is something that you had actually mentioned on the show, bro. I say about 7-8 episodes ago, you have to actually put out a physical, I can go to the store with a barcode and $10 and buy your album, CD,
right,
before you can get on Pandora. A lot of
right.
rappers don't know that. And then
right.
that's when you start to like you say, start to differentiate between what is a rapper and what is a artist. They sign dumb rappers. They don't sign intelligent artists. Because if you know, I supposed to get one cent of streams, and the record company got 17 million streams out there on your song, but ain't showing you the paperwork, don't you know they keeping all that money?
Right, right. Exactly. Absolutely. Yes,
you know,
I know.
They finna use that money to get Titty Boy over there. You feel?
Yeah.
They finna use
right.
that to get G's over there, or whoever, or another big name, and leave you wherever you are. You know what I mean? And it's a lot of cats out here. I will say that's not in a position where they straight. Like, I have picked up on something as I listen to the show, because I'm even one of them. I'm a cat that works every single day. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't take no all day. 7 days a week, you can ask anybody about me. And there's a lot of us that's out here that work. But then, when it, like you say, when you turn on the radio, I pick my mixtape up or whatever the case may be, all I hear is indictment music. I got 50 bricks. I still dope on my iPhone. You
right.
can't get a play from me. I pull up on you. I ain't even got no license and I'm with you. Bro,
right.
in the street, we don't work like that. You don't get money like that.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I tell my mama all the time, because she still ain't just the most enthusiastic about what I do and what I say. But like I tell her, you know, they voted the Terminator as governor of a state in the most prestigious country in the world. You know,
yeah.
the Terminator now. This man here came and wiped out a whole police department and then some. And y'all turned around 20 years later and made the man the governor. So, hey, it's all entertainment, baby. Long as
yeah.
we get a check. Some feel like that, some don't. I lean toward that, but at the same time, unlike you, it's like baseball. When I was 9 years old and I first knew I could put these rhyming words together in a pattern, I loved it. I'm 31 now. I still love it, bro. I do it for free. Like you say, as soon as I get back in the house, all I'm going to do is hit on, and I'm going to get in the booth. You
right.
know, but the game has changed. It changed a lot. I kind of say I'm jaded on the situation, because I'm like you. I listen to a lot of Atlanta music and a lot of downside rap, and it ain't the same. It ain't the bar after bar after bar coming with concepts and coming with real intelligent speak. But then at the same time, when do we stop making music and start trying to make a conscious difference, you know? Maybe we not caught up in the 70s and the 80s. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's still a lot of social change that needs to go on out here. You know what I mean? But at one point in time, make music for music. Make music for what it is. You know, I'm hard on people just like you. I don't like that. I don't like nothing you just said. I don't like the beat. I don't like the way you came out. I be just like that. Fuck.
Right.
If you don't like it, I don't like it. You know, but
right.
at the same time, I still sell music. So I have to also look at it like as a business standpoint, as music is music. Music is here to entertain. Music is here to bring about emotions. Music here to bring about thoughts. Just because this one song don't touch you particular to the point where you're just ready to go hug that artist. Oh, man, you changed my life. You know what I mean? I Like the Way You Move is an Outkast song. But at the same time, Elevators is an Outkast song. Now, look at the difference in them songs. Miss Jackson,
right.
You feel me? So
right.
so if you are just a one and Tupac is the same way, How Do You Want It and Brother Got a Baby. You know what I mean?
Right.
That man was a
right.
gangster, bro. I don't care what
right.
nobody say. He played.
Yeah, but you're talking about and you just described two multi platinum artists, two artists, a group and a solo artist who are staples in hip hop. And why? Because they are diverse. I've never been the person who said I had a problem. And this is why one of my this is why I said it earlier about the Jeezy record. You know what I'm saying? Because people you will have people who will put an artist like Jeezy and lump him with someone else, another artist from down south, who they try to say all they make is that kind of music. When if you really listen to that Jeezy's music. And I'm not necessarily just a fan. I just understand that Jeezy is not, even though he ticks me off when he says he's not a rapper. That just drives me bananas. But
I can understand why.
Tell him again, from the first time I heard you say it.
He drives me bananas when he says it. And if I ever meet him, I'm going to tell you, nigga, you know, I just, this nigga, don't. If we ever do a collaboration, nigga, don't fucking say that. Or I don't want to do the song with you. Just don't say that fucking bar. Nigga, I'm killing the collaboration right now. It may never happen, but I would say that to that nigga face. I will stop the play of Pro Tools and you got to rewrite that line or something. I can't say that
Please, on the
song with me. Period. Jeezy. Okay, you know what I'm saying? But no, seriously.
I know exactly what you're saying.
See, I would say that, but in all seriousness, back to my point, you have people like him who make he may pick a lot of the beats are going to be trappish, but then he will step out and make a different kind of song or whatever, and he has the ability to do that. And do, like you said, with Outkast and Pop, those are prime examples of multi-platinum artists, and that's what music is about. Music is supposed to take you all over the world. It's not like I don't make I rap on some trap beats and stuff like that, too. If you listen to my catalog, you'll understand and you can see that I make a huge, diverse range of music. And those are the artists that people love, because when you that's what people bought albums when people were like, those artists were at the pinnacle, at the top, you know, because you could put that in and you could ride around and maybe you don't feel like Brenda's Got a Baby Today, but then you'd have about, you know, other songs that you could still feel and ride around, and, you know, you just felt the artist more, you felt the music more, because it took you on a ride, a plateau. It took you on a ride. The artist took you more than one thing. And that's what the single deal did, is what the caller said. What the single deal did was make it seem, it made it seem like artists only was talking about the same thing, one thing. And we listen to 107.9 Atlanta, Georgia is the is a shining example of the fact that more people get single deals now than albums, because everything that you hear mostly on the radio station there, on that station, is single, is what you give to the DJ in the club. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's what you know.
Yep.
And then, but you never hear nothing else from these artists. You know what I'm saying? Because they just got the one single deal.
No.
It's like, you don't even, maybe they probably are capable of making better, different music, but they don't get, they don't even want to give them a album or a deal or anything. They just want to give them a single deal. So now, even if that artist is making more music than that, they can't get it out.
I don't mean to call nobody out, but this is two perfect examples. Shop Boy sold like 2 million ringtones, Party Like a Rock Star. They next single was Buck Through There, and that shit didn't even make it out of 285. All right, FLY sold like 1,500,000, 1,000,000 on the ringtone with Swag Surf. They didn't even come out with a second single.
What happened to Walk It Out, guys? Where are they at? This is my point.
in the room.
You know, and it's not, it's like, look, I mean, at the end of the day, the fact that we're sitting and talking about them, and they probably not, don't know who the fuck we are, that's a testament to their career. Because we talk about them on my show right now, them niggas don't even know who the fuck Blizzard and Ray Money is, maybe, or K100 or none of that shit. So they can sit back and say, nigga, we only know, nigga, yeah, that second song didn't do shit, but nigga, what did you say first? That did how many ringtones? Nigga, how many ringtones is Ray Money and Blizzard did? And then they can just... You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, so
that's real,
right? Because you can always sit back and look at it either way you want to. What I'm talking about now is the way hip hop, as far as the genre as a whole. You know what I'm saying? And of course, like I said, all that music that you just named, I ain't buy the motherfucking ringtone. You know what I'm saying? I didn't buy the ring. I ain't got the motherfucking ringtone, so I don't really give a shit if 2 million other people, they got that. They can say that. They got that. There's no argument with that. You right. You did make noise. You did have a number one single with Party Like a Rock Star. You know what I'm saying? Y'all did that, homie. I've never had a number one single. I've never had a song remotely close to being as popular as that particular song. But you and in fact, they have made more money in the music business than I ever have combined. Off that one song. That is also true.
Mm-hmm.
Even guys, from what that song generated from shows alone, nigga, I can't see them probably in a quarter of their shows. They probably made more money than I made in culmination of all my albums sold as an artist. Guess what?
And that's true.
That's true. You know what I'm saying? But guess what? 39. You know what I'm saying? And that's the part. It's like, if you, why can somebody have a song and somebody something like that, a song that's that popular and no one's talking about it 5 years later? That's a problem. That's a problem. That's hip hop, and that's the way it's mutated. That's where it is. We've had one hit one of this since the beginning of it, and I don't know. We've had one. We had one here since the beginning of the hip hop. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know. So I mean, you know. Anybody know where Kwame was at? I don't know. Spoken out, man. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I can go on. That's the mid-90s. It doesn't matter. We've had one hit wonders all throughout the history of hip-hop. And it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So,
Ted, they were one of the first. They were one of the first ones.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's just been so many of them. You know what I'm saying? From the beginning, you know. But
yeah.
Maybe there's a part of the genre that we just have to accept be, and it's just morphed into what we have now. That we have this version of the one-hit wonder now, and that's how it is, and that's the game. And maybe, like I said, at the end of the day, those guys still eat pretty decently off show money, and if they're smart enough, they made enough connections to maybe, you know what I'm saying, like me personally, if I was to have a song like that right there, if I had some little crazy song like that pop off for me, personally, I would take every connection that I made while I'm on tour on why that song is hot, and I probably would be eating some kind of way in the industry from that point on ever, because I got a wider skill set. You know what I'm saying? I don't just rap. You know what I'm saying? So just meeting the people would probably ensure me living off music for the rest of my life after that one song anyway. You know what I'm saying? I could probably make a one hit and still eat forever behind the scenes because I'm a producer and every other thing, everything else I got going on. You know what I'm saying? So who knows?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Right, you know what I'm saying? But so I'm not just necessarily saying, you know, one hit wonders is the issue. I don't have an issue with one hit guys like who make that one joint and they get tour money. That's it. You know what I mean? I mean, that's not even the point of the show. The point is what hip hop has come and morphed into, and is it good or is it bad for the genre? And I feel like the state that it's in right now, it really is bad. But I got to get ready to get up out of here, man. I wanted to make sure I took your call, though. But we're
all right, and I appreciate that. And from my opinion, I think it's bad, too, because I don't see 8-Ball and MJG going on tour 10, 12 years from now, being able to have a sold-out concert like Bruce Springsteen. Our genre had become too commercialized. It's become too commercialized, too rationalized, too in a box. Not just do what you want to do because you love doing it. Do what you were told to do because this is the only way you're going to fail. This is the only way you're going to get out of the ghetto. Dance, nigga, dance. Simple as that.
You might be right. Raymond, man, thanks for calling into the show. Stand by. All right, man. Well, again, everybody who's listening to the show via the podcast, thanks for tuning into the show after the fact. Once again, we air live Monday through Thursdays, 8 to 10 p.m. I didn't air yesterday because yesterday, for this airing, was Memorial Day, and nigga, I don't work on a holiday. On the Memorial Day, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, New Year's, none of that. Labor Day, none of that. Hell, I'm gonna be the boss of the kid chill working on the holiday. Y'all don't even get paid for this. Well, I get paid, but not. Anyway, so long story. Thank you for tuning in to K100 Internet Radio. I'm your host, Blizzum. Follow me on Twitter at K100_radio. All right, that's the show. You can follow me personally on Twitter at Blizzum. Check out www.chainlessentertainment.com to read more about K100 Internet Radio, Chainless Entertainment, the movement, the label. We've got about 30, 40 songs from the catalog. Of course, we got way, way more than that, but we got about 30, 40 great songs over there. If you want to know, you know, people sit up here and say, Blizzum, you over here talking about artists and music and shit, nigga. Can you even rap? Tell you what. ChainlessEntertainment.com. You hit the play, you hit the music player, play it, and then you come back and say, this nigga shouldn't even be talking about rap. He's so whack. Or you can say, I respect Ryan. Thanks for tuning in to the show, man. Episode 306. Deuces, we'll be back tomorrow. Illa Kill of the Subway. I'm up in the air with it. I don't know. I'm up in the air with it. But we're going to have some music tomorrow. Yeah. Tune in, man. Thanks, everybody.